to put Nick Elliott on the spot once again, because in a matter of moments we'll be having the new Ozark Mountain Daredevils. In fact, yes, the Ozark Mountain Daredevils, not so much new about them, coming through. Are you ready for another slice of Ozark Mountain Daredevil wonderment from their latest and newest album, Off the Beaten Path?
I am very much.
Thank the Lord you said that, because if you said no, it would be very embarrassing. I would have to completely change things around. This is called Friend of a Friend of a Friend.
The girl's so fine.
So if we're looking at the social media Facebook package, we could say that R.W. Sanders is a friend of ours, and that led us to the friend of Royal Chapel, and Royal in Fulders of Time has actually led us to Michael Soup Grande, who's going to be another friend because he's also founding member of the Ozark Mountain Daredevils. Round of applause, please, for the Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
Yay! Yay!
Whoa, Michael, welcome to the production. How are you, sir?
I'm very well, my friend. What time is it there?
It is 6 p.m., quite literally 1 minute past 6 p.m. in Lincoln, England, not to be confused with Nebraska. Well, of course, we connect with, of course, yourself in Central Time, where I believe it's 12 noon.
Yeah, it's noon. The sun is out. I've been out tying up my tomatoes.
You say tomatoes, I say tomatoes. I'm sorry, we're not going to call it all the
golf. Oh, gosh.
But yeah, life is good, buddy.
Brilliant. And I mean, I've been privileged enough to actually listen to the latest album, and literally everyone is a winner. You cannot actually sort of say, I mean, some albums you just think, oh, I'm not so sure about that one. But yeah, we've heard two on the show so far. We've heard Nosferatu. Our Edinburgh correspondent was particularly impressed with the connection of Trump with Dump.
Acid Dump, yeah.
Acid Dump and Trump.
Nice. Some good writing.
Well, to be honest with you, that song was written years before it... The current political climate was established. Mm. So it was just by coincidence.
Well, you know, that is coincidence, yeah. Or maybe some grand universal cosmic plan. We don't know.
Yes, well, maybe. There's that. Yeah. But the songs on this album, Alex, we haven't had an album of new material out in 20 years. That was a live album, and that was kind of where we kind of played our old hits in front of an audience, and it was really, really fun. But we haven't had an album of new material in a long time. So we've had many, many moons to write these songs. And as a songwriter, the more time you have, the better the end product usually is.
Indeed. And I think you've proven that by what we've heard so far. We've still got more to actually listen to. Nick Elliott, your thoughts on what we've heard so far as a rock photographer and so on?
Oh, I really like the last track. That's super. Really, really good stuff. Grey band.
It's Michael Soup Grand. Sorry, Soup.
I love the harmonica as well, dropping that in. Nice. Very good.
That's always been one of our trademarks. And when it came time for this record... Well, I mean, it's the same guys, man.
It's the original band, guys. Is it, Mike? The original band? Yeah.
Well, there's three of us. John Dillon, Steve Cash, and myself are entering our 48th year. And over the 48 years, I think we've had 48 members.
Right.
But the three
good
of
stuff.
Us have stuck it out. The three of us have stuck it out through thick and thin. And, it's the same guys. Sometimes playing the same instrument. I'm playing the same bass I've had forever.
Wonderful.
Well, Steve has to buy new harmonicas, but
yeah.
It's the same guys playing the same instruments, making the same music.
Good stuff. Lovely.
Yep.
Lauren, what did you make of the Ozark Mountain Daredevil's latest tunes?
I really enjoyed it. Again, I really like the harmonica.
So the harmonica is a... I mean, going back to the days... I mean, this is obviously taken from that wonderful source, Wikipedia. Did the band originate as the Cosmic Corn Cob and his amazing Ozark Mountain Daredevils?
That was the original name.
Mm.
But it came out of a lager-filled evening, and we all laughed at the title, but the first thing we had to do was take out the word amazing because of our friends in the Amazing Rhythm Aces.
Indeed.
So we took that out, and because no one in the band wanted to step forward and be Cosmic Corn Cob like Commander Cody, you know, he stepped forward and became Commander Cody and his band. None of us wanted to do that because we were an ensemble. And we prided ourselves in being an ensemble, and no one wanted to step forward into and hog the spotlight. So we got rid of the Cosmic Corn Cob and portion, and we got rid of the word amazing, and that left the Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
And the world, quite frankly, has been a better place ever since.
Well, thank you very much.
We were very impressed with Earl when we spoke with him a few months ago. In fact, it's time Earl came back. Earl, you're always welcome. We must connect from that perspective. And moving on from that, I'm going to ask you, Michael, to suggest what next tune we should actually listen to. And we'll come back to you about this. I mean, I must admit, the range is phenomenal. We've got the very dance-worthy, effectively, Waltzing with Lady St. Louis, which is a classic number from that point of view. You've got the heart-rending, and I mean quite heart-rending, and We Did Fall, and of course we got the title track Off the Beaten Path from indeed Off the Beaten Path. But we've got, I mean, is there any particular one from there or those selections, or would you say no, go for something completely different? What would you like, Michael Soup Grande? Am I getting the pronunciation right? Because I'm kind of giving a sort of an emphasis on the grande.
That's kind of a hard thing for me to choose because the songs are so
awesomely wonderful is the phrase you're looking for. It's like asking to choose between your offspring, saying which one of these children can I actually go for?
Exactly. See, but that was one of the things that was kind of our calling card in the beginning. You know, if you didn't like Jackie Blue, just wait for the next song, and it will be a complete different genre. And if you didn't like that song, wait for another 3 minutes, and there'll be yet a third genre.
Well, I'll tell you what, I've got a solution here, Michael. I'm going to ask Lauren to give me a number between 1 and 8, please.
7.
Straight in there. No, unfortunately, we've already had 7. That's friend of a friend of a friend.
Of course.
Well, I tell you what, why don't you play Lady St. Louis?
You're going to go, well, on the grounds that it's a wonderful way to be waltzing through the whole process in 3/4 time, I believe, basically, from the album off the beaten path, waltzing with Lady St. Any background in terms of Lady St. Louis? Because obviously you couldn't meet me in St. Louis, but I've never actually waltzed with Lady St. Louis.
Well, I'm from St. Louis.
Oh.
That's where I grew up, and that's where I first heard the Beatles when I was in 6th grade. And that's where I learned how to play the guitar. And though I moved to the Ozarks, and now I live in Nashville, Tennessee, I still have a fond place in my heart for St. Louis. And so I wrote the song about the city. And when I go there on occasion, I just love to go and just you know, have a great time, eat and drink and be merry in St. Louis. So it's kind of a little love song to the city.
Sitting on the banks of the river, watching the river boats go by, wearing her arch in a halo made from the stars in the sky. I love my Lady St. Louis and the sparkle in her eye. I love it when she sings Louie Louie and Auld Lang Syne. Now I'm waltzing with Lady St. Louis, so happy, carefree and gay. I'm waltzing with Lady St. Louis, the night away. Her mother came down from Chicago, dressed in gingham green. Her daddy was a river boat gambler up from New Orleans. Now I sit by the side of the water in the land of the midnight sun. Show me the way to the dance floor, 'cause I'm one of St. Louis' sons. Now I'm waltzing with Lady St. Louis, so happy, carefree and gay. I'm waltzing with Lady St. Louis, dancing the night away.
night away.
And I just have to ask the question, Michael. Does the trolley still go clang clang in St. Louis?
Yes, it does.
Hey, because without that clang 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 goes the trolley. We've just Walson with St. Louis. Round of applause, please. Yay!
Well, thank you very much. The I wrote that song, I wrote it as a waltz because you immediately went to the Meet Me in St. Louis reference. And that's okay, because so did I. Mm. St. Louis is a very rich tradition and history. And when I wrote it, I said, well, let's make this waltz. You can't have a song entitled Waltzing with Lady St. Louis in 4-4 time.
Fair point.
So I wrote a waltz, and I kind of used my old friends in Fairport Convention as a inspiration for the feel with the harmonicas and the accordions. And I think it came out pretty good, don't you?
I think it came out more than just pretty good. I think that's an understatement. Shaylee, you've got a question to put to Mike about Fleetwood Mac, I believe.
I do indeed. So Fleetwood Mac is one of my favourite bands ever in the whole world. And I was reading a bit of history about Ozark Mountain Daredevils, and apparently you guys opened for them in 1978. I just want to know what that was like for you guys.
Well, we opened for them in 1978, but we met them in about 1973 when we were staying, while we were recording the first album at Olympic Studios. We were staying out at the Headley Grange. And at the time, I think Fleetwood Mac had a house out in the area, and we would see them down at the pub. So we would go and drink beer and play darts with them years before they had their mega success. So we were always friends with them. When we played with them on those gigs, they were very, very nice, very accommodating, and very professional. Because sometimes you meet bands, like you said, bands you love, and when you walk away, you're kind of disappointed. But not Fleetwood Mac. When you walk away, you're impressed, and they've always been very good friends, and they're one of my favorite bands too, my dear.
Excellent. Good news to hear that they are nice as well.
Yeah, they're nice as well.
And whilst we're talking about meeting your idols, because, Nick, this is your speciality when you're taking photographs of rock star bands, although as yet I feel one huge gap in your whole oeuvre, no shots as yet of the Ozark Mountain Daredevils band.
No, you guys have actually done anything in the UK, Mike?
No, I don't believe so. Unless we get invited.
Mm-hmm. Right, you've never actually done anything over here?
Well, there's nothing on the books as we speak.
Right. Bit of a shame.
That needs to be sorted. You know, we need to get that sorted out straight. Lauren, can you get that sorted out from the public relations side of things?
You know? Yes. I need something to do.
Yeah, exactly.
Can you get that sorted out for next week?
Quick turnaround.
That's what I love about the spirit of Central America. You know, there's the can-do attitude.
Get on with it.
That can-do attitude, which is there in so many ways.
Yeah.
But my point being, Nick, when you met your idols or you met sort of photographers, I mean, some of the people, the artists you've actually worked with, any disappointments when we say, oh, you just don't talk?
No, never, never. These guys have been everything, you know, that I've expected them to be. I know they say never work or meet your heroes, you know, with your heroes. But no, I've never been disappointed at all. No, not at all.
So there we are. Positivity. Put out positivity, etc. And you deserve then your official jingle and ident, Nick. Here it comes.
Nick Elliott, international music photographer and host of Sound and Nick's Vision, in one delightful 57-minute monthly bundle.
Okay, I see. It's all there.
That's good.
In fact, as you head off into the wild beyond, you can say hello to Alan Ritson, who usually follows your Sound and Nick's Vision on a sort of monthly basis. He does lots of folk material and great material as well.
Yeah, yes. No, a bit of folk. Nothing wrong with that.
We're almost at the end. We need to go over to Wales to obviously speak to Robin Pierce in his castle. I know that comes from the Stone Tapes, but he's joining us today to talk about Batman and to talk about Batman and Judge Dredd and also to talk about Solo and another small movie.
I've seen Solo on Monday.
Deadpool as well.
And so, Deadpool 2, yeah.
There we are. Before we actually go to those final two questions for yourself, Michael, any particular choice for the last, for this evening at least, Ozark Mountain Daredevil Band tune we should actually go to?
What's your favourite?
Well, I mean, it's melancholy, but I must admit, the line of the final track on the album, which is "And We Did," "And We Did Fall." I thought actually that's quite poignant, really. I mean, I know it's melancholy; it's not quite upbeat, but I mean, I don't know. Would that float your boat, Michael? Was it?
They all float my boat.
Exactly. This is very true. I mean, I can almost hear RW sound so yelling at the podcast, saying, "Has he gone insane?" Sorry, RW. No, we'll go way through that process. We'll chill out and relax on that basis. We will go out with this particular one then. But two final things. Well, actually, before we do this, how can people actually focus on Ozark Mountain Daredevils? They can like you on Facebook, of course. I've just done that.
You can like us on Facebook, and we've just put up a new website. It's called The Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
Excellent.com.
You have to put the word "the" in front of Ozark.
Because
Mountain
you are
Daredevils.
The definite article. That's the critical thing. You are the definite article, which is another band.
Correct. We're getting ready for our 48th year, and we're finally getting a website where people can buy our music through e-commerce.
Whoa! Hey, 21st century. Eat your heart out.
People, up until about a month ago, folks had to send your check to P.O. Box 436, and people don't do that anymore.
It's quite charming, though, isn't it? You know, actually writing things out physically and then sending it to a P.O. I mean, Lauren, P.O. boxes, do you have a strange world, isn't it, really?
Yeah, not in my time.
No, exactly.
this is our very first website where people can come and go click, click, click on the mouse.
Wow, what?
The money is transferred electronically.
You see,
the disc comes right to your door.
Who was it who said that sometimes in America you got your New York, you got your California, and the bit in the middle is just so primitive? You know, no! You got that thing to go. It's worked through that. Genius.
Well, there's something to be said for that, but, man, we're making our way.
Absolutely. Michael, it's been absolutely fantastic connecting with your good self today. By the way, where did the soup come from? I mean, that's S-U-P-E as in super, not as in S-O-U-P, which is a different line
entirely.
That's
exactly right. So, it came from many years ago when I was young and silly. Now I'm not young. Well, I still am silly.
But still silly.
But the story basically centers around a Superman suit. Mm-hmm. And a quart of tequila.
Nice. So where are you going with this
one?
So
it's one of those nicknames I haven't been able to shake for almost half a century.
Unlike the tequila, of course, which was probably heavily shut now.
Yeah, sure. I'll have some of that this evening, actually. Yeah. But I haven't been able to shake the nickname, nor am I trying.
No, exactly. Well, Michael Soup Grande, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic debut on the midweek drive? Has it been okay for you, sir?
It's been fantastic. I always enjoy speaking to radio stations, and you're a good one. You're one of the good ones, man. I've had a blast, and I hope one day soon we'll meet in person. And we can come over to Great Britain and make some of that music.
I'll make it happen.
Thank you, Lauren. Exactly. That's the task to work through that. You've already asked the second question. Would you be kind enough to return and join us telephonically or in person in the very near future? Will you be back with us?
You call me anytime. This is my home number. You call my home anytime you want, Alex.
Well, fantastic. We're going to go for the title track, Off the Beaten Path. The Ozark Mountain Daredevils. Round of applause, please.
See ya.
See ya, man.
some cherished memories and had a damn good laugh. We told the truth in Istanbul inside a Turkish bath. We spilled out all our secrets and took that photograph when we were there off the beaten path. We hitchhiked out of old Frisco and headed for Flagstaff. We spent the night in Zion Park and met that psychopath. He stole your rings, I caught him cold. You warned him of God's wrath when we were there off the beaten path. And all the time we never knew if we were lost or not. But somewhere between the tried and true, that's when we both got caught in the act off the beaten path. Shanghai bar for 6 days and a half. I went by Teddy Roosevelt, you were Mrs. Howard Taft. We paid our bills with lies and wit and ancient Chinese math. We were there off the beaten path. Like the lost gods of Olympus through the mists of history, someone will write of our debauchery and call them tragedies. Like Jim and Huckleberry Finn drifting on a raft, we were there off the beaten path. And all the time we never knew if we were lost or not. But somewhere between the old and new, that's when we both got caught in the act off the beaten path. We were there off the beaten path.
In 1991, comic book history was made when John Wagner and Carlos Esquero's indomitable Judge Dredd, arguably the UK's most popular comic character and the scourge of Megacity One's crime problem, met up with the Gotham Goliath, Batman. Did you realise that partnership had taken place, Nick Elliott?
I didn't.
Batman and Judge Dredd.
No,
Judge Dredd and Batman. And you're about to have to leave us as well. Well, the one person who actually can confirm that took place because he wrote the review that I just quoted from the latest edition of Starburst magazine is Robin Pierce. How are you, Robin?
Good evening. How is England? Wales is rainy.
There we are, you see. Never let it be said that we can't skip from Nashville across the ocean to Wales and then obviously connecting with Lincoln from that point of view. And Robin, wearing the sort of what used to be the Phil Dearness mantle, of course, before he got Los Angeles Breakfast Clubbed, etc., but he's back for the second part of the programme, presumably. You've also been listening in to the production, and it's time for you to give us your writer's notes in many ways, Robin, in terms of your writer's notes, because we've got Shaley, we've got Lauren, we've got Nick, who's leaving us to head eastwards. Is it eastwards you're going?
I don't know. Not south. No, east. Not compass wise.
Yeah. Heading east. Wouldn't he be in the sea?
It's not that far away.
No.
All right then.
Yeah.
It's that way, Robin. It's that way.
You know, I'm talking from Wales, and everything is close in Wales.
Mm. Right.
Mm-hmm. But let's not go into personal habits and sheep. can't believe I wrote that in the script.
Dear, oh dear.
Never mind. What have you made of the production so far, and what bits would you like to pursue before we start finding out what we actually made of Solo and Deadpool?
I have enjoyed the production so far. Oh. It's a slick, well-put-together production that I am honoured to be a part of. And, of course, with me on the line, this is where it all falls apart.
Oh, no.
Because how on earth can I, sitting here in my house, somewhere where most normal people can't even pronounce, called Pushelli, follow the Ozark Mountain Daredevils.
Quite simply, you are a writer, a lead writer for Starburst magazine. I could say no more. Yeah, the world's longest running magazine of cult entertainment.
Bad judgment on their part.
And indeed, your reviews are awesome. Nick, do we say farewell? Do we bid you adieu now?
Unfortunately, I need to go, Alex, which is a bit of a gasp, but it's been wonderful. Thank you so much for inviting me on, and as always, great to speak to everybody.
And don't forget, if you're suffering from withdrawal symptoms, it's literally... I mean, in fact, actually, Robin, Nick has the slot that is every month occupied by the Stone Tapes, because it's one of the carousel of programmes that we use on Thursdays after 7 o'clock. Nick Elliott Sound and Nick's Vision, of course. We have Sound and Country Vision. We have a Past Prologue. And, of course, we have the Stone Tapes. So that's all connected together. The Stone Tapes is going to be on the day of the Lincolnshire Show, actually, this year, when we're doing our next Stone Tapes scenario.
Is it really?
Yeah, exactly. Which is why I thought that's too long for the listener to be without Robin Pearce. So we need to get him on.
Totally
show.
Agree.
Exactly.
You flatterer.
Thank you, Nick Elliott. We will let you hang up your headphones.
Thank you, Alex. Been good to see you.
Close the door on your way out.
Bye, Nick.
Bye, Robin.
So let us move on from there to a movie which I'm going to set the scene with, because I think Robin was somewhat shocked when I actually only gave Avengers Infinity War 7.5 out of 10. I might be able to persuade you to move that up to an 8. Solo, I'd give 9.5.
I would give Solo
9.5, and Deadpool probably around 8.5.
I'm so surprised by that.
Well, it appears
9.5. That's a good mark for you.
That's a very high mark.
Yeah,
exactly. But what do I mean? Lauren, have you seen either?
I have not.
You've been too busy covering the fantastic world of the University of Lincoln's Festival of Creativity. So genius stuff on that basis. But Shaylee, you have managed to see Solo?
Yes. Right. Both of them. Both Deadpool 2 and Solo.
Okay. Well, your geek credentials are high then.
Thank you very much, Alex. Mm-hmm. I'm glad you approve.
Exactly.
I don't know how I feel about Solo. I saw it on Monday and I'm still digesting it very slowly. Mm-hmm. The ending, incredible, amazing. Mm-hmm. Didn't see it come in. Mm-hmm. Not going to give any spoilers away for people who haven't seen it. But I'm surprised by the 9.5 because I would have probably given it a 7.
Well, I mean, the slight confusion insofar as, you know, Daenerys, she's gone brunette, you know, thinking, where?
I prefer her brunette, though.
Exactly. You know,
and she was fierce in that film.
And a kind of Von Ryan's Express moment, I felt.
Yes.
But, yeah. Oh, I did like that. But rather than Von Ryan's Express, I was thinking of the episode of Firefly where they try something similar.
Nice one. Good call.
Interesting.
Good call.
Yeah.
Exactly. Lauren, Firefly.
This is the first time. I'll be honest and I'll be rather controversial.
Mm-hmm.
It's the first time since 1977 mm-hmm. I have not looked forward to a Star Wars movie.
That's how I felt as well. That
because
is exactly how I felt.
I really can't stand those origin stories. Mm-hmm.
Well, it's basically a spin-off, isn't it?
And I just nobody could fill Harrison Ford's boots, as far as I was concerned.
Mm-hmm.
And stand by for the hate mail. I was afraid of the same kind of Star Wars saturation that we got with Star Trek in the 90s, where I was perfectly happy with 79 episodes and the film every other year, and all of a sudden you had 7 years of Next Generation, 7 years of Deep Space Nine, 7 years of Voyager, 4 years of Enterprise. And I was just thinking, enough already. I've overdone on it. So, being that it was only 5 months from Last Jedi, which I still have mixed feelings about. I'm still not completely happy with it. I thought,
definitely.
That's you and Mark Hamill, basically.
you know what? Within the first few minutes of this film, I'd been actually won over that I was watching a young Harrison Ford. And there were so many cameos and Easter eggs. I won't give any sort of big plot spoilers here.
I think his mannerisms in the film were very... very on point and very good.
He wasn't playing Han Solo. He was playing Harrison Ford.
Exactly.
Playing Han Solo, and I thought he did it admirably.
100%.
Because he had the same swagger, the same sneer, the same
world-weary
brawling of lines. And at one point, he said, "Trust me," and did that smirk. And I thought, Harrison Ford did that in Indiana Jones and the Raiders of the Lost Ark.
Nice.
You know, come on. It was a very, very good film. More importantly to me, it actually made Star Wars fun again.
Yes, very true.
They
very
become
true.
A little bit heavy, a little bit like, oh my God, we're being preached to again. And
Luke's turned
you know,
to the dark side of the Force. We can't take it anymore.
Yeah, let's make it fun again. Let's make it exciting. And this film does. And I know that there are another two in the pipeline, and there are so many threads dangling that, come on, we need this trilogy now. And those threads, if they pursue them with the characters that they have broadly hinted at, please note, no spoilers, then it's only going to be bring this trilogy further into the overall canon saga.
Because I don't think the next film is next December, isn't it?
Next December. That'll bring the original saga to a close.
Okay.
We'll find out what Richard Fitzwilliams makes of Solo.
Deadpool 2 was cool, though.
He's talking about
it. Oh, wasn't that irreverent fun? How many pops did they take, not only at Marvel, but DC as well?
It's everything. And I really liked how Thanos played Cable. So.
Yeah, Josh Brolin.
There we go.
And the line, you know, call it Thanos.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's in the X-Men mansion, and he keeps saying, you know, where's everybody else? Mm-hmm. You'd think the studio would be up. The door opens. They're all hiding from him.
A definite so win-win situation. Even including the Stanley cameo as a wonderful piece of Banksy-esque oriented art, really.
Indeed.
Put together, which to me, I mean, a Marvel movie without a Stanley cameo, it's inconceivable.
I would say definitely go see Deadpool 2.
I wrote an article for Starburst where I was basically trashing the abysmal timeline in this Fox series.
Mm.
I called it Days of Present, Past, Future, Whenever.
Dear Lord.
Ooh.
That's James McAvoy and Patrick Stewart are not going to be happy.
He uses Cable's device, and he's saying that he's just setting the timeline straight. You know, assassinating his own previous version of Deadpool, and even shooting himself through the head before he signs on for Green Lantern, which I still maintain is not a bad movie.
I share that with you.
I like Green Lantern. Exactly. Yeah,
I saw everything.
It was creative.
When all's said and done, if I didn't start a lecture by saying, in brightest day and blackest night, no evil shall escape my sight, let those who worship evil's light beware my power, Green Lantern's light. Frankly, it just wouldn't work. You know, it's want.
Exactly. Is that your opening mantra?
That is my opening mantra.
He's got it tattooed.
I sometimes don't verbalise it because it might have scared Lauren. But at the end of the day,
do you have a ring, though, Alex?
Well, not a visible one.
I actually bought the prop replica ring.
See?
True nerd. True nerd. We appreciate.
Thank you.
We
my badge is worn with pride. I fly that freak flag high.
We will find out what Richard Fitzwilliams makes of Solo tomorrow. So
interesting.
He's going to talk about that. Phil Lianis.
I might tune in for that.
Phil Lianis has also made that through. Lauren, meanwhile, has been busily perusing an edition of Starburst, which has got some of your awesome material in there, Robin.
Okay.
Lauren, any questions you'd like to put to Robin this way, as somebody who's kind of, you know, not quite stepping into the whole thing and might possibly have disagreed with Paul Mount's line that the new Netflix Lost in Space is even more wonderful than we'd anticipated. Yes, you see, he's come round to my belief. It's
Lost in Space? No way.
No.
I couldn't get past the first episode.
Paul and I are very good friends, and we will be discussing that next time we meet.
Well,
it's a discussion he's not going to win.
Definitely not.
I can imagine that good word of mouth will eventually secure the new Lost in Space, the multi-generational audience it was surely designed to attract. And it starts quite promisingly and goes on very strongly as well. So
it was never broken, so it didn't need fixing.
Okay, Lauren, thoughts and questions from yourself?
Yeah, there's so much content in this. And it's not just what's recent, it's, you know, a range of.
It's got your cult packages in. It's got, I mean, the addition of Zoltar. The one thing I would actually say, which again could be quite controversial, is actually I prefer the newsstand covers to the subscriber only ones.
I like some of those newsstand covers. As a writer, we get the collectors,
of course,
sent to us. But sometimes you think, ooh, that's a nice cover.
Exactly.
Ooh, why didn't I get that one?
My precious. All sorts of other bits and pieces there.
I feel like this has just turned into a massive, like, geek out of who can be the geekiest.
Once we've sighted Green Lantern, that's fine. But I do see that Phil Lianis is clearly, obviously, waiting to actually do his little piece from that point of view, and rightly so. So, Lauren, it falls to you to actually ask those last two questions to Robin Pierce.
Have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Very much so. It's always a pleasure being on this programme.
And will we be seeing you soon?
I certainly hope so. As soon as the guy in the big chair gives me an invite, I'll be along.
Wow.
So much power.
quite extraordinary.
He's like Thanos, isn't he, with a microphone?
Exactly.
And at this very moment in time, we've got Turnabout Intruder being screened on the Horror Channel, which is wonderful, you know. He could have had it all, if only, exactly. Now you know the indignity of being a woman, said by William Shatner.
That was the last ever transmitted episode of original Star Trek, wasn't it?
Exactly. As they go off into the elevator, she could have
had it all.
It's
the one where he's sitting in the captain's chair, doing his nails in one scene.
Exactly. Well, actually, he's in his headquarters. He's in his crew quarters. Actually, he's not in the captain's chair. He's filing his nails whilst speaking to McCoy about various other business. And so, Dr. Janice Lester, it's awesome. So are you, Robin? Take care. We'll speak again very soon.
Thank you very much. Bye now.
Getting paid by the hour and older by the minute. My boss just pushed me over the limit. I'd like to call him something. I think I'll just call it a day. Pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. This lunch break is gonna take all afternoon and half the night. Tomorrow morning I know they'll be hell to pay. Hey, but that's alright. I ain't had a day off now in over a year. My Jamaican vacation's gonna start right here. If the phone's for me, you can tell them I just sailed away. And pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere. Pour myself in a cab and be back to work before 2. At a moment like this, I can't help but wonder, what would Jimmy Buffett do?
Funny you should ask, Alan. I'd say, pour me something tall and strong. Make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care. Something tall and strong, make it a hurricane before I go insane. It's only 12:30, but I don't care.
He don't care. I don't care. It's 5 o'clock somewhere.
What time zone am I on? What country am I in?
It doesn't matter, it's 5 o'clock somewhere.
It's always on 5 in Margaritaville, come to think of it.
Yeah, I heard that.
You've been there, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
I've seen your boat there.
I've been to Margaritaville a few times.
All right, well, that's good.
Stumble my way back.
Okay, well, we just want to make sure you can keep it between the navigational beacons.
Between the buoys, I got it.
All right, well, it's 5 o'clock. Let's go somewhere.
I'm ready. Crank it up.
Let's get out of here.
I'm gone.
Weekly Chill Pack Hollywood podcasts, monthly Los Angeles Breakfast Club shows, a cat called, Fuzz Aldrin, and partner to the awesome Lily Holman. just some of the co-creations filmmaker Phil Leonis brings to the Midweek Drive and Midweek Drive Morning Editions.
And Sue Royce actually specifically asked me to give mention to Fuzz Aldrin as she went off to purchase some cat litter earlier on today. So she said, best wishes to Phil and Fuzz Aldrin, of course.
Good old Fuzz.
Needless to say, so has Nick Elliott, who has now left the building and is driving somewhere towards the sea. It's all right. It wasn't that bad a show, Nick, honestly. Phil Leonis, welcome back to the Midweek Drive. I don't know whether you managed to catch any of it this week or where, but then again, I haven't caught any of Chilpack Hollywood, so who knows what could be happening, but we have Lauren Ward and Shaley McKenzie with us. Where would you like to go? Where would you like to take us in this magical 900 seconds that remains of Siren Radio's Midweek Drive for the last Wednesday in May 2018?
Up. We're down to 800 seconds now. I would like to point out, and I will get to the fact that whether you've heard it or not, your Chilpack Hollywood Hour is in perfect thematic lockstep with the Midweek Drive, as I'll explain in a moment. But first, the breaking news about Fuzz Aldrin. We got an email in the wee small hours this morning that the blood panel and the radiologist report were in, and Fuzz Aldrin has a perfect clean bill of health.
Oh my goodness.
She's completely, completely healthy. So she does not have to have a follow-up appointment for a couple more months, and then that's it. She is out of the care of this emergency hospital once and for all. So we're very happy about that. And as I mentioned, Alex, we could not be more in sync. And I said Chilpack Hollywood Hour, but it's also my other podcast, the Los Angeles Breakfast Club on the Air, is in thematic lockstep with the Midweek Drive this week. A new episode of the Los Angeles Breakfast Club on the Air is released tomorrow, and one of the musical offerings that will be contained therein is a 1936 recording done live at our breakfast club by the Downey Sisters of the St. Louis Blues. What could be more appropriate on a week where we enjoyed waltzing with Lady St. Louis? I ask you that.
Exactly.
Good tie, good tie.
It's called synchronicity of the universe just clicking into place and making sure. I knew the moment I accosted Phil at the Sci-Fi London Film Festival. No, I didn't accost him, really. Or, on the other hand, it was going to work out well. You know, I'd predicted it. It's playing the long game. The long game, Phil. That's the important thing. It's always
And so now, now another piece of news that I get to share with you, breaking news as well, and then we'll get back into all the ways thematically we're in lockstep. Alex Lipchuk, I need your best mailing address emailed to me because the save the date announcements are going out for Lily and my wedding, and you, sir, are going to be on the invitation list. Oh. Don't kid yourself.
Is this going to be in Los Angeles?
Of course it is.
Nice.
We are not inviting, I've got dear friends who are journalists there, dear friend Louis Savvy. We're not inviting any other UK personages, mostly because we don't want them to feel like we're putting pressure on them to come, because we know what an ordeal it is. But Alex Lefchuk, it's like, we know he won't be able to come, but if he somehow turned up, I mean, can you imagine? That's pushing the party to 11 at that point. So,
Phil, I'm almost speechless for the moment. So, I mean, what can I say? Just,
I will say
that
at the very least,
you'll want the memorabilia of the save the date announcement and the actual invitation, right? I mean,
well,
so
with the certificate of authenticity for eBay, I mean, what come on? I mean, the whole sort of series has been booked now. It's wonderful.
Hey, I want to do. You know how the Star Wars franchise had thrown me for a big loop not that long ago. Thematically, when I was saying, you know, it boggled my mind because there was no other franchise in history that its box office performance was completely independent of quality, because some of the Star Wars movies, not good, some of them excellent. But regardless of the quality, they all performed unbelievably well at the box office, and there's no other franchise in history that is where the quality is completely independent from the box office performance. And then all of a sudden Solo comes out, and it proves my point in yet another way, because here's a movie where it's going to be the first Star Wars movie ever to lose money. It's going to lose hundreds of millions of dollars. It's bombing around the world, and yet that's totally, again, independent of the quality of it. It was as if a judgment was made long before anybody had seen it that this movie was a mess, and there are some ways in which it's a mess, but I'm flabbergasted again. Of all movies, why is this the one that would underperform when I think it has nothing to do with the quality of it?
Shaley, you solved the earlier conundrum and riddle that Phil Lynn has put to you. Have you got any thoughts yourself on this second part?
So, personally for me, I was not looking forward to Solo by any stretch of the imagination. I think in terms of timeline, 5 months after the last film, and then the next film's not going to be until next December, so we've got to wait over a year for another entry. I'm not surprised it didn't do very well, because I don't think it ticked any boxes.
I've heard that argument about how it's too soon since the last one, but I point out the Marvel Universe. They release Black Panther, and a month later release Avengers Infinity War, and then, even though it's not Disney yet, it will be by the end of the year, Fox's Deadpool Marvel movie comes out just 2 weeks after that, and they all perform exceptionally well.
Ant-Man and the Wasp.
I think in terms of Marvel, you've been waiting 10 years. There's been a lead-up of 10 years to Infinity War, where each individual film already has its own fan base. Iron Man, you know, Ant-Man, all of them have got individual fan bases from people who've read the comics and followed them for years. So leading up to Infinity War, that film was the film that people were waiting 10 years for.
Yes, and that, now you're on to something, is I don't think it's per se, 5 months is too soon. I think it always comes back to this question of, is there a built-up appetite for that story that we're going to tell? And in the case of Solo, I don't think anybody was clamoring for, give me an origin story.
No.
Because what made Rogue One so much fun, and something that Dean Haglund has pointed out on our podcast, is there are so many stories to explore in that Star Wars universe. All you have to do is read the opening title crawls of each of those movies, and they give these little hints at backstories that are really fun to explore. But Solo, it's like the whole reason they wanted to make this movie was to explain away the error of referring to him doing the Kessel Run in parsecs versus time units. Like, that was the whole reason. Wouldn't it be funny if we solved that error? But rather than it being, quote unquote, a story that people have been clamoring for. So, but I do feel it's a shame, in the sense that, as you know, Alex, I've been a big champion of Alden Ehrenreich since very early in his career. I'm one of the people that brought him to the attention of Disney in the first place. And I would hate if the failure of Solo is dropped at the feet of the lead actor, which I fear can happen. We know that this happens sometimes. Brandon Routh with Superman Returns, for example. And it's a shame, because he is such a gifted, charming performer.
But his performance as Han Solo was incredible. He captured the essence of the character. So surely nobody could comment on the success of the film based on the lead actor.
But they
many are. And yet many, many are.
So rude.
Because he's not Harrison Ford. And I think the movie does him a disservice, because it has him playing basically a kid at the beginning. He doesn't get to show off his Han Solo-ist tendencies and characteristics until well into the movie. He's just a kid at the beginning.
It's what a broken heart can do to you, Phil. It's what a broken heart can do to you. That's the key thing.
And I think by that point, several people had already written him off. And so I don't think the movie does him favors. in how it's structured and set up, because the second half of the movie is so good.
Yeah.
But anyway.
Lauren.
Yeah.
Laura, so, yes. You've been listening to this, you've been looking at images of Fuzz Aldrin, you've been generally sort of, it's like being back in a seminar session where I know you're going to come up with a classic line. What are your thoughts on Solo? Is it, from what you've heard, is it something you say, I must check out and see that, or what's the view?
I mean, I think I need to start, you know, watching a few of the other films before. You know, that's going to take me quite some time,
maybe
I
not.
Hear.
You don't have to go all the way back to the All Sorts system. You know,
I think I'd give it a go. Like, it's not all, you know, negative.
It's got Ron Howard directing. I mean, just think of how Solo could have changed its whole format. I mean, one thing I was thinking about with Chilpak Hollywood, that now, with current news, of course, there is the opportunity for Phil and Dean, probably Lily as well, to maybe invite Roseanne Barr onto their show. I mean, I'm sure she'd be...
Controversial.
I'm sure that she would love to be on my show after my long time girlfriend Channing Dungey, the head of ABC, cancelled her program.
Exactly,
I'm sure she would love to be on my
exactly.
show.
Exactly, that's what I thought. I'd roll it out there, Phil. You know, put it in the ether and see what actually happens. You know, I mean, by the way,
if I may, just really quick, you know, Channing, it is easy to characterize people in corporate positions. And to project onto them. But I've always thought that she unfairly took criticism for putting the show on the air in the first place. Many people criticized her. Many liberals and progressives criticized Channing for putting Roseanne on the air in the first place. And yet I always thought that this was a great thing, that that's what diversity looks like. She said that her network was going to be the network of both Shonda Rhimes and Roseanne Barr. It was going to be diverse expression. And that was terrific. I thought that was heroic. And then to say, you know what, the fact that it's our number one rated show doesn't matter. The right thing to do here is to cancel it, is again a heroic thing to do. But I put away my soapbox right now, and I beseech your young co-presenter to actually maybe watch Solo first, because she's the only person that could tell us whether it makes sense going from Alden Ehrenreich as a young Solo into Harrison Ford as a mature Solo.
There
interesting.
We are, that's your, you are our guinea pig.
You're tasked with that.
Exactly. Take your mum along as well. It's important that you use the work there. When you finish off in a couple of days' time, the wonderful world of the Festival of Creativity, you're sorting out sound links and various other bits and pieces. Then I think check out Solo, and then you can actually find it.
Siren FM will purchase your ticket for you, so go ahead.
I think we can.
Can I have free cinema tickets?
We can maybe look at the Midweek Drive. I wouldn't presume to say anything about Siren Radio and budgeting and that sort of thing. It's a different line entirely.
I've been sending in the receipts to Siren FM for years now.
You see, there's
postal services are just so bad nowadays.
Wow. I mean, you know, as we heard from our Ozark Mountain daredevil, Michael Soupgrand, he's only just found out the joy of the internet. People aren't actually sending in their checks to the PO box as well. It's amazing. Lauren, would you like a number between 1 and 26, please?
I'll go for 26.
You're going to go for 26 again from that sort of point of view, because it's a long time since we actually had a Universe Today thought.
Being fair and reasonable will earn you respect and admiration, but being genuinely kind will make you a total love magnet. Pucker up the universe.
There you have it. Yeah.
It's cool to
you
be
know,
kind, kids.
Hashtag time's up, universe. Hashtag me too. The universe just keeps getting too handsy with me, and I'm not happy about it. Keep your puckered up lips to yourself, universe.
No means no.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Or possibly exactly. Possibly L3 if you're watching Solo, but still
nice. Nice.
Still
good.
Waiting forward.
Good there.
Marvellous. Phil, it's been awesome as ever. Now, the big question is, given that Richard Fitzwilliams is going to be talking Solo tomorrow morning, will you be joining us for the Midnight at Los Angeles slot on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition?
I don't know. I really don't know. I'll have to think about this. I mean, I am dying to hit him with my line about how I went Solo to see Solo, which helps explain why the box office is so low for the Star Wars film. But interesting. I don't know. I really don't know.
The
know?
Pun is strong in this one.
If I was punished for every pun I shed. Okay, we got to go. But I really enjoyed listening to the show and having notes for you again this week.
And it's been like old times. Not that there ever are old times, because let's face it, when it comes to being chronologically gifted, we're all just sharing the planet as co-creators. Lauren, have you enjoyed being back on the programme?
I have. I wish I returned sooner.
Well, it's never too late. And obviously you can become an official Colchester correspondent and go back in time and sort out various other bits and pieces. Will you be likely to return in the not-too-distant future?
I think I will.
And Shaylee?
I've had a great time, as per usual.
Exactly. So all's good from that point of view. We know that Fuzz Aldrin has been very happy with life and other bits and pieces as well. Great stuff continues with respect to Siren Radio. Shaylee, go on. Ask those last two questions. Phil Leonis, it needs to be done, so go for it.
Phil, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
I enjoyed listening to the show. I enjoyed being able to give some director's notes. And, of course, being able to give you the breaking news about Buzz Aldrin.
I will admit, for about 3 seconds after you said that, I thought you were going to say Fuzz had passed.
Oh, no.
And I was like, no.
Pass water.
Touch
that's all.
Word.
Exactly. Yes.
I did have a bit of a panic there, but I'm very relieved to hear that Fuzz is doing amazing.
She's a midweek driver. She can do no other.
Definitely.
Work our way through this whole process. Anyway, carry on.
Will you be back next Wednesday?
Yes. You couldn't keep me away.
And we don't know about tomorrow morning, so just you have to check out what's likely to be happening on a programme which is also featuring Els Bailey and Tessa Snar and a whole heap of other fine things that will be happening as far as the Midweek Drive Morning Edition is concerned. Ian Lennox is back with us as well. Wrapping up with a smidgen of Mr. Big and To Be With You, can we all say... Actually, I haven't done the Roll of Honour. Thanks to Anna Lewis, William Coles, Eva MacDonald, Michael Soup Grande, Robin Pierce, Philip Leonis, Nick Elliott, Lauren Ward and Shaylee McKenzie. Can we all say bye-bye?
Bye-bye.
Bye.
And thank you, dear listener. I like that, Lauren. Nice touch. Good evening. Very good. Very good. Farewell. So come on, baby, come on over. Let me be the one to show you.